Following the United States midterms, Democrats see abortion as one of their most powerful campaign weapons in their arsenal to defeat Republicans. I'm Skynell Hughes, and on this edition of 360 View, we are going to discuss whether abortion is really going to play a large factor in the 2024 election cycle, or if this is just a Democrat strategy to distract from the lackluster results, both foreign and domestic, of Joe Biden's first term. Let's get started. It's another election cycle, and of course, the broken record of reproductive rights, more specifically abortion rights, is at the forefront of the Democrats' agenda. Now, in 2022, when the Supreme Court overturned Roe versus Wade, I would have thought this would have eliminated the use of the abortion debate in federal elections. Yet, following the recent wins of the Democratic Party on the backs of anti-abortion limiting ballot initiatives in Virginia and Ohio, it's obvious Democrats see making the issue of abortion a priority as a winning strategy for them. Now, this isn't rocket science or anything new, yet the Republicans, more specifically Republican candidates, have not yet effectively been able to collaborate together to provide a good defense on this topic. Okay, I want to break it all down for you on the strategy of both sides regarding abortion and the role it plays with the electorate.
The United States Supreme Court took away that constitutional right, a fundamental right, a basic freedom from the people of America, from the women of America.
On one side, you have Democrats who are hoping to use the topic really to distract from the current state of America following the first term of the Biden administration. Now, a poll in 2022 showed over half of Americans felt they were in imminent danger at least once per day. And with recent headlines showing an increase in carjackings and violent crimes, all in major cities, Americans definitely feel less safe today than even 3 years ago coming out of the pandemic. Now, coupled with increased inflation, the consistent threat of action by the American military in a foreign war, $33 trillion in debt, rising health care costs, and a less secure southern border, which has already allowed more than 2.5 million illegal immigrants to cross this year, you can see why Democrats hope to make the only subject which they seem to be winning on the key issue. Meanwhile, Republicans on the other side have taken a really odd approach of basically ignoring. Now, maybe they feel it's a moot controversy since Roe versus Wade on the federal level.
My friends, let's be encouraged. Let's press on in hope and that we can join together and make this great difference. I believe that we can. We can stand with every woman for every child, and we can truly build a culture that cherishes and protects life.
But this would be awfully short-sighted, because if Democrats are able to motivate their electorate enough to overwhelmingly control Congress, make no mistake, they are going to push to grow the number on the bench. If this happens, it is almost guaranteed there will be another abortion case which will find its way to the Supreme Court and will be ruled in the Democrats' favor. Now, the National Republican Party has once again underestimated the power of single issues motivating an electorate at the state level. And it is obvious that Democrats realize this and will continue to build enough state-level victories to counter any legislation made at the federal. I want to continue this discussion with our panel of educated guests. Angela McCardle is chair of the Libertarian National Committee, and Desi K. Robinson, health professional, doula, and media commenter. Thank you so much for joining me, ladies. I think this is a very interesting conversation that's happening in America. It's one that I think we've probably had since the day all of us were born, is about abortion and reproductive rights in the United States, and yet we still don't have a solution that is good for all parties involved. So I want to get to it later about whether this is all being done on purpose to divide rather than actually get a solution. But I want to start with you, Angela, on this, because more than the economy, more than the rise of crime or national security, do you believe abortion today is really at the top of women's minds?
I don't think so. I think this is largely manufactured, the controversy over abortion. I think this is definitely something that's going to be played up heavily in the election, but I'm concerned with the economy. I'm concerned with putting food on the table, gas prices, nuclear war, you know, seeing our tax dollars shipped overseas to foreign conflicts. I'm not thinking about abortion when I wake up every day.
Well, and Desi, I have to ask, do you think this is more important with certain demographics, men versus women, males, young versus old, even if we talk about various races? Do you think it's more important to others rather than just the broad electorate in general?
Well, I think it does resonate with multiple audiences for different reasons. I think younger people are recognizing that progressive issues are very much connected to each other. I do think that it does resonate largely with women because abortion is a healthcare issue. And to say that it's manufactured, I think that's a bit of a stretch. I think that if you are understanding what progressive politics are about, you're recognizing that abortion is healthcare, and healthcare is attached to the economy. And if we're really looking at these other issues that have to do with putting food on the table, having another mouth to feed is definitely an economic issue. It's a social issue. It's an economic issue. It's a health issue. And so to narrow it down to this sort of singular, you know, issue doesn't really respect the place that it has amongst the lives of people who are trying to put food on their table, to live healthily. And and progressive voters recognize that when you attack women's rights and healthcare rights, you know that other marginalized communities are coming. Gay rights, gay marriage, all of that is on the table when you start attacking reproductive rights.
Desi, I can see exactly where you're coming from, and I see your point in that. But I have to ask, when you do talk, I agree, it is an economic issue. But why do you feel like it is, as it was brought originally by Angela, was the fact that the economy is very important to us, national security is important to us. When we're talking about the economy, if we're talking about abortion, why aren't we talking also about supporting a mother who does decide to have a baby? Why isn't that conversation and argument just as important as the abortion issue is in America today? Why aren't we having put that much emphasis on that as a party, as a Democrat and Republican party, if that truly is what it is about the economy?
I absolutely agree with you, Scotty. I absolutely agree with you. And I think, you know, it's unfortunate how sort of bifurcated this conversation is about abortion as opposed to pro-life or pro-choice or pro-abortion, which I don't think most people are pro-abortion. I think most people are pro-choice. But if we're thinking about pro-life, I think we're having a very narrow conversation amongst conservatives, which are really about pro-birth. They're really just about birth, because if they were about life, they would be promoting and advocating for policies that ameliorate the lives of people who have children. I rarely, if ever, see as part of the conservative platform of pro-life, fair wages for women, improving health care, universal pre-K, improving the Family Leave Act. All of those things are part of being pro-life. And so I would agree, if we're really trying to make a case for the pro-life platform, then it should really be about the living as well as just birthing more people. And so if we are really trying to move this issue to a place where both sides could agree, then we would also be talking about Black maternal health numbers. Black women are three times as likely as white women to die having a baby in this country, in the most advanced nation in the world. That is not part of the conservative platform about improving and ameliorating the lives of Black and brown women who are dying having children. And if you go into our major cities, that number is anywhere from 7 to 12 times as likely as their white counterparts to die having a baby.
And that's,
and so if we want to improve the conversation, then we should be including that in the conversation.
I agree with you. And I want to bring Angela in on this effect, because you're right. Republicans aren't talking about it, but neither are Democrats. That's the thing. Democrats aren't also bringing up that conversation either. Do you think this is on purpose, Angela, the fact that you are seeing it's clear cut, you're either pro-life, you're pro-choice. We're not having that conversation that would actually make this be a solution for all involved and treat the other issues that are happening that are causing women to have abortions, that are causing women to not be able to take care of their babies or make that choice.
So the National Libertarian Party has removed abortion from our platform. We're silent on the issue because we think that it's divisive, and we think that the country is at a gridlock place politically and culturally where we're not going to have a solid answer. There is no yes or no on abortion right now. People are undecided. And I think that Republican candidates generally shoot themselves in the foot when they go really hard on this issue. It seems to be that Americans want women to have access to abortion, but they do not, by the same token, they do not like it when Democrats go really hard on this issue and say that they are for third-term abortion, partial birth abortion. That's also a turnoff. So, you know, my personal perspective on this is we need to just completely step away from it. I would much rather let this be decided culturally. This is something that is a cultural issue. And by the same token, so is the respect for life, the respect for individual rights. Trying to almost like... revamp the image of women and childcare and normalizing and making it seem fun, right, to have a family and to support women at home. You know, there's an interesting kind of cultural phenomenon that I see happening on, I don't want to say like the far right, but some of the fringe right, with men who are bitter about women, and they want to only date women with very low body counts. They want to marry a woman who's like 22 years old and a virgin. And I think that this is sort of related to the abortion argument. It's sort of, where is a woman's place culturally, in the workplace, at home, whatever? If we want to be very pro-life culturally, we have to start saying, like, you know what, we respect and value women. And also we're engaging in a little bit of cultural whiplash right now, because what my generation has been told and generations before me is that a woman has to be, we have to be a two-income household. You have to go to college. You have to have ambition. You have to have hopes, dreams, and all this. And it doesn't paint a balanced view of what it is to be a woman. It doesn't include providing for a child and healthcare. And so I think if you're a young woman and you're in college and you get pregnant accidentally, there's a lot of social pressure on you to have an abortion, and there's not a lot of at least perceived support. So we have to really start at the root of this issue before we start having politicians decide arbitrarily, or maybe because of, you know, like a faith-based issue and they really have values on it. But
right.
We can't just be letting them call the shots. This is a much deeper issue.
And Angela, you're right. And I'm going to take a break. This seems like a great point to take a break on us, because we've probably had more of a civil conversation on this issue between the three of us, finding common ground, than I find most often in Capitol Hill just down the street when they bring up abortion. So we're going to take our break, because when we come back, we're going to continue with our panel and look at what it says about the American voter. If they can be motivated just by one singular issue, which does not affect their everyday life. Welcome back to this very important discussion about the influence of abortion rights in America and what it will have on the 2024 election, all with our guest panel. Angela McArdle, Chair, Libertarian National Committee, and Desi K. Robinson, health professional, doula, and media commentator. Thank you, ladies. You know, before we broke off and we went to the break, we were talking about what conversations neither party, I believe, is having right now in regards to abortion. It's real easy to throw abortion out there because it's black and white, but there's several other issues that both parties could do. But prior to this, and I'm going to throw this over to you, Angela, what has been the effect of the Roe versus Wade ruling on this issue? I mean, it was supposed to send it back to the states. 60 million babies have still been allowed to be aborted in America since the ruling, so abortion is still legal in the United States. Would that not have confirmed that conversation, finished that conversation, and left it to the states to decide?
I think that this has just emboldened Democrats and helped them supercharge their base. I mean, to the extent that the Supreme Court has to deal with these issues, like I get it, and I'm sympathetic that they have to deal with that. And I'm not even going to say that they're wrong in their decision. Procedurally, I didn't think that Roe versus Wade was a very well-written argument. But the reality is they handed elections, you know, and excitement and enthusiasm to the Democrats. So, you know, I think that's really where we're at right now. And Republican candidates are just trying to catch up and they don't really understand how to navigate this. Also, Republicans are just typically and maybe it's because they're slightly more individually minded than Democrats. Maybe it's because Democrats are more collectivist, and you could take that as an insult or a compliment, depending on how you take it. But, you know, they work lockstep. They have an agenda, they stick to it, and they know how to motivate their base. And I don't think that the Republicans have any understanding of that. Right. So very interesting.
Well, and going to you, Desi, from a Democrat standpoint, do you feel like that that Democrats have not given up hope on a federal law that will make abortion legal across the states, or are they more focused on individual states, small pieces of the pie instead of going for the whole pizza?
Well, I think that there are collective efforts to bring this back to a federal conversation. You know, according to the Center for Reproductive Rights, over the past 30 years, more than 60 countries have liberalized abortion laws. United States is one of four progressive, more industrialized nations that have rolled back. And so we're really trying to get back into where the movement is going. According to the Green Wave, which is a collective among Latin American countries that are moving for more liberalized and progressive abortion laws, this is not just a single issue where you're looking to sort of get this cantankerous conversation around angry women. People are recognizing more and more that abortion is healthcare, and that healthcare is connected to the economy, and it's connected to the progression of our nation. If we want people to be healthy and well, we have to make sure that people have a right to say what they want with their bodies. And, you know, I agree with the earlier comments. This is also a very gendered issue in terms of, you know, men saying who they want to, you know, be in a family with. We have to have, and I think with the progress of our LGBTQIA community, we are really progressing in terms of what we understand families to be. We have to be moving forward, not backwards, in terms of who women are, who women will be in this world, and how we are very centered in the progress of our nation. This nation is built on the backs of labor, and women are very much at the center. Poor women, indigenous women are very much at the center of labor in this nation. And right. So all of these issues are deeply connected around the progress of a nation. Rather than rolling back people's rights, we should be moving forward in expanding the rights of people to live the lives that they need and that they want to live.
But
it's not just a narrow women's issue.
I want to bring bring this on to Angela on this point, because you're right. They kind of all do come together, except when you talk about the economy, Angela, you know, you said that's one of the still on the forefront of most women's minds.
Yes.
Is it not insulting to women to say, well, they're just going to go vote Democrat because the Democrats are the ones fighting for reproductive rights? They're the party of the reproductive rights, when most polls will show that they believe Republicans handle the economy better. So is it not, do you almost feel insulted to a stack that you're going to say as a woman, you're going to vote Democrat just because they're pushing one single issue?
Well, I'm not pro-choice.
Well, I'm not saying but I'm saying, that's what I'm saying. Is that insulting to
the gender? And neither are a lot of other women in the country. There are so many women who don't believe that abortion is the right thing to do. I mean, the Libertarian Party, we just try not to touch this at the national level, but there are a lot of women who are still very much pro-life, and they believe in individual rights, and they don't believe that abortion and healthcare are the same thing. And primarily, they're concerned with the children that they already have, and they're concerned with putting food on the table, and they're going to vote for the party that they believe is going to deliver the best economic package for them. And that doesn't necessarily mean that they want government healthcare. It means that they want to see gas prices drop. They want to see fuel prices, you know, be negotiated better, or they want to see fracking bans lifted. They don't really care about how it's done. They just want to see things more affordable. And I think that for the ladies in this conversation here, like, we are so involved in politics. You know, we see every little thing that happens. We're paying attention to the nuance and the details, but there are millions of women out there, and men too, certainly, who they don't care. They just want to know what happens at the end of the day. The bottom line is the country more affordable place to live. Can I buy more Christmas presents for my children? Yes, no. And that's how they vote.
Well, and that's interesting you bring that up, because there is a lot of money that's also involved in this. You know, the national, it looks like the pro-abortion rights group spent about $150 million on the midterms, $9 million on those state ballot initiatives that they were victorious in Ohio and Virginia. Desi, could this just be more about an effective messaging on a call to action that Democrats are able to mobilize and use this as their mobilizer than necessarily the other issues that Republicans are failing to mobilize their base on?
You know, I think both parties can be effective in single issues with their voters. I think when Republicans want to scare folks into believing that undocumented people are coming here to ruin our country, I think when fear-mongering is involved, Republicans do a very good job. I think in terms of abortion and rallying and motivating people to recognize that this is a human rights issue, I think Democrats do pretty well on that too. But I would agree with the earlier comment. I think that a lot of people in this nation don't care how the sausage is made. They want a better life, and they don't recognize or care really about how all of those mechanics work. But I do believe at the end of the day, if Democrats and progressives are looking to do really good messaging, they're going to recognize how to connect these issues to how people live their everyday lives. If people recognize that abortion is connected to healthcare, which it is, and they're
able to
really combat.
Just expand on that a little bit for me. How do you think that abortion is connected to the healthcare of everyone, not just necessarily women of childbearing age?
It's connected to everyone because healthcare is connected to reproductive care and maternal care, and that's absolutely important to women's care. So all of those things are connected. Reproductive choice, having birth control, making sure that you have in most cases, when you have insurance, you get a GYN as well as a general practicing doctor. And so women's health care is very connected to general health care. And so when we put it this way, when you ameliorate the lives of people who are the most marginalized, then everybody wins. Everybody wins. When you improve healthcare for women, men do well. They do very well. Children do well, and people in general will get more of the expansive and holistic care that's necessary when you begin to recognize how attached women's reproductive rights are to healthcare.
Angela, we only have about 2 minutes left, but especially coming from the libertarian perspective, do you agree with that? That when you attach things like birth control, does that help everyone? And is it right to attach birth control to abortion, to put the two in the same category, or are they two separate subjects?
It's totally separate to me. Healthcare for me is about human flourishing and you know, especially deregulation and allowing people to get the access they need to things that are going to improve and help their lives. You know, to me, abortion is the ending of a life. And so I don't include that in healthcare. And I recognize that in, you know, 3% or less of circumstances, it's necessary to save the life of the mother. But the rest of the time, I do not agree that is any way attached to health. I definitely want people to have access to good healthcare, though, and I hope that our government will ease restrictions and regulatory burdens that benefit insurance companies over individuals. You know, I'd like everybody to have affordable healthcare.
Well,
but I don't include that in abortion.
Well, Angela McCurdle, Chair of the Libertarian National Committee, and Desi Robinson, health professional, doula, and media commentator, thank you so much for having this very civil but very important discussion today. When it comes to abortion rights, the parties do not look at it based on the actual act of abortion, its justification, or even the need. They're not doing this to help make a woman's life better or help a woman in a desperate situation. Because if so, the conversation would be more about what medically is needed to help support endangered pregnancies, or what type of system needs to be in place to support a mother adequately after the baby is born. The conversation would be also focused on what could be done to help prevent a woman from being put in the situation in the first place, which would also involve a very strong conversation about preventing domestic violence and crime. The sad part is both parties do not see the issue of abortion in personal terms, rather as just a tool to accomplish their ultimate goal of gaining power. I'm Scottie Nell Hughes. Thank you for watching the 360 View.